Hi guys, and we are back for part two of the episode, Having Control in Your Life. We're back with Hannah Kavam, who talks to us about having control over her children's lives, how people tried to control her at one point, and how we kind of understand how to set boundaries for ourselves and how to recognize how to get beyond that. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy it. Take care. Welcome, Hala, to the second episode. Thanks again for taking the time to do this.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to jump right into the questions.
Insane.
What does it mean to have control in your life? What does it look like?
I think it all depends on personalities. And I think it's very good to have control on your life to a certain extent, as long as it doesn't become like, you know, obsession, and that you cannot even do anything without controlling it. But I think if you really, like if you're in business, you have to have control. And if you want to have a good kind of mindset, you have to have control to a certain extent.
But what about things like, because I feel sometimes, especially in all regions, but sometimes here, people just kind of go along with the flow. Like you're raised, there's a specific expectation of when you're going to get married, who you're going to get married to, what work you're going to do based on your family business, all those kinds of things. And a lot of people just kind of go with the flow or the tides of where life takes them. Sometimes because of family reasons, sometimes just that's the way it is.
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off in
this.
Go
for it.
I just thought about one thing. One of our struggles in our community, especially the Arab region, is the control of the parents. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to let go. Because, you know, your kids, when they grow up, you control. Yeah. You don't want to, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, for their safety, they cannot live alone. I mean, a baby.
Yeah.
They're helpless.
Right.
So you have to have 100% control to raise them, to take care of them, safety, cleanliness, and all that. Mm-hmm. Then they grow up. And then if you have an awareness, enough awareness, you have to stop there and say, they're adults now. Control has to change. Most of the control has to go. Because you're an adult. What am I going to tell you? What to wear? What to eat?
Yeah.
Who to marry? A lot of people in our community, the control comes in. He has to study what I tell him to study, or she has to study what I tell her, or she has to marry who I tell her, or he has to marry who I tell. And it has to be my decision.
Right.
That's control. That's an unhealthy control.
And then what would you say to the children of parents like that? How do you then manage that relationship?
I think children suffer if they have a very controlled parents. And I think the key to it in some cases is communication. Like, you know, I talk to my sons. I don't have a daughter, so I don't know how that works. But then I look at them, I'm like, you know what? They have their lives. You have to respect. You raise them to be successful. Then you cannot tell them not to do these things.
Right.
I mean, what do you want? A boy sitting next to you all day long?
True.
You don't want that. So I think, again, we go to the things that we spoke about it the first time, is like you have to go inside and ask yourself, am I controlling them? The best control is if I control myself, control my anger, control my negative thoughts, my control harming people. That's a good control.
I think the difficulty comes in, and maybe I'll flip it from my perspective and the like my friends and my cousins and stuff. The issue comes in where it's like, if you have a controlling parent, how do you then, A, have that conversation with them where you're telling them, no, I understand you raised me. I understand I owe you so much, but no, this is where the line is.
One of my kids doesn't have a problem with that. No, for sure, with me. And I'm like, I'm the victim here, not them.
No, I mean, I don't have any issues with that. Yeah, but like sometimes like I talk to my friends and they're like, yeah, so I'm getting married. Why?
Because my mother said so.
And I'm like, well, don't you feel like you should have a say? I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know?
Exactly.
This is a life decision, right? And that's kind of what drives me crazy. It's that sense of like...
I find it sad. I find it... Okay. I do believe like, you know, not everyone is fit to be with some people, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, you have to find... I remember once I was speaking to my son or somebody and I was telling them, when you marry somebody, nothing to do with money, mm-hmm. as a culture... Your kids, you know, will be interacting with her family or his family. And if they are really like not a good family and manner-wise and behavior, your kids are going to be associated with them. They're going to listen to things that they're not supposed to. So you have to be careful. But again, you know, I could say to an extent, mm-hmm. but they cannot control.
So when you're working with some of the people in Journey Through Change, mm-hmm. what are some of the tools you give them to kind of, I guess, start making better decisions or start taking charge of their life and things like that? What are some things that you...
The main thing about change is that you have to, when I said you have to see the problem, mm-hmm. that is control. To have the control over your own life. To say, I'm not going to accept you abusing me anymore, verbally, physically, emotionally, whatever it is. I'm not going to accept my friends to degrade me. Mm. I'm not going to accept that I have to have a bad relationship. That is taking control over your life. Or I'm not going to accept being miserable. It's nothing to do with anyone. It's me.
Yeah.
That is taking control over your life and making a decision of change.
Yeah, it's always that I feel like either you have to make decisions for yourself or life will make decisions for you.
Oh,
that's the
everybody.
Kind of,
in the Arab community, everybody's involved. Yeah. Everybody's business is my business. You know, like they say they love you to death.
Yeah.
That's literally.
Yeah, everyone has an opinion and everyone feels they should have an
opinion. Oh, and you have to do my way. Yeah. Maybe you are, I know you from Twitter.
Yeah.
But you have to believe like me. And I'm like, I've never seen you. But no, you have to think like me.
So if we say the first step is realizing that there is a problem or there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second step is taking control in the sense of, I guess, setting boundaries with others.
Learning the techniques. Before that, you have to learn.
So what are some of the techniques
steps. You have to. It depends what. I mean, do you need to have more boundaries in your life? Do you want to have more control over your thoughts? So many different things.
Mm.
But there are always things that you have to do it first with yourself. You cannot just say, you know what? I don't want to accept this bad relationship. Okay. You cannot just go and decide you cannot accept. How are you going to do it? I mean, you could do it and tomorrow, after tomorrow, you fail and you go back to square one. So you have to know the steps. You have to know the methods.
Right. So first define the issue and then figure out what are the methods
first
available.
First you admit you have an issue.
Oh, first admit you have an issue, then figure out the technique or the method to deal with that issue.
And you know what? I cannot give anybody an excuse these days for not helping themselves, because the internet has so many ways of learning that how to ask for help, tips. If you cannot afford it, you can ask for, you know, check out the YouTube, check out the website. There are things to learn. And you know what? You invest in yourself, even financially. Pay to take care of yourself. That's an self-investment. And if you invest in yourself, then you can afford to bring other money to take care of yourself.
Very true.
Yeah.
Do you have some inspiring stories from from the programs that you've run?
Oh, I've been doing it for so many years. A lot of women, women that they realize they are in a bad relationships, women that they realize that they have very weak boundaries with their family and they've been emotionally abused or, you know, blackmailed. People that they didn't have friends. I have to sit and think of so many stories that they have. But a lot of them wasn't, you know, I see miracles in my trips. Miracles.
So do you go on all the trips?
Do I go? Yeah. From morning till night, I'm with them.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, I'm with this group from morning. We do with a breakfast, some kind of activities. Then we go and do that. If we do the workshop or we do, you know, the activities that we need to. And I have lunch with them and we have discussion groups and we have exercises. It's amazing. It's really amazing. So it's, I see really, really, really like before and after. Oh my God. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I cry in every single trip. I cry my heart out to see so much changes and so much, so many people in pain, and they just need an ear,
yeah,
and somebody to tell them it's okay and not judge them.
That's the hard one.
Yeah.
That's the hard one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're just going to go into our three questions that we ask all our guests.
Okay.
The first one is, what's one word you use to describe yourself in your internal dialogue that you don't say out loud?
Oh, wow. So I don't say it out loud?
It could be a positive thing or a negative thing, either way.
One thing I always say to myself when I go to trips and when I go, I say, you came a long way, Hala.
And,
I cry. Because,
wow,
I did come a long way. So now I'll cry.
Amazing. What's a side of you that you would like to step into more?
Oh yeah, good questions. Tough ones. Side of me that I want to step in. I need to cook that question. Maybe. Well, that's a deep one. I hate you, Mishari.
I get that a lot from my guests.
Yeah. My patience, maybe. I am a very patient person, but maybe I need to get more into that. Maybe I need to get more into I need to get into more. I get distracted very easily because I'm ADD. So I wish I could get into more into it. Although I do a lot of meditation, it calms me and I'm calm inside. But maybe to explore more that. Maybe. Although I've been really, really explored a lot of things about myself. Like I dig so much and nonstop.
Okay. You know?
And I speak to my mentor and my friend, Elaine, the psychotherapist that helped me change my life. Every week, few times, and we talk about so many things. Oh, I think I have one.
Okay.
I have one. The financial side of the money part.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
What do you mean by the money part?
I have a complex relationship with money. So I need to dig that more. And I am.
What's the complex relationship?
See, I believe people have, you have a relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory. I believe with food is the way you deal with food is the way you deal with yourself. And the way you deal with money is the way you deal with people.
Interesting. How so?
It's a subject. It's a full subject. look at the way you eat. I'll give you an example. I love going to a restaurant and ordering 10 things. I don't waste them, take them away, but that says something about my relationship with me and myself too. But I like variety. And that's my personality. You can never be bored with me.
Yeah.
My personality has a lot of sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so many things. That's why I started with that. So the food, the way I deal with food, is the way my personality is. And the way I eat, I'm careful. I love food, but then I don't eat dinner. So I have control.
Okay.
And I go on and off, you know, that kind of a relationship. Money, if you're generous with money, it's you're generous with people. And you're emotionally generous. So you see a lot of people that they're misers. They're not even generous in their feelings.
Interesting.
If you look at your life, go into the people that they are kanjus. Kanjus in Hindi, it means...
Miser?
Yeah, they use it a lot in Emirati, miser. You would get to know that they are even miser in the way they're with their feelings, or they're expressing their feelings.
Interesting.
Or they're giving.
Mm.
So see, I am very, with money, I love enjoying, I love buying, but I have control. I'm between.
Okay.
So it says a lot about my personality. I am generous, but if I know that you're using me, I'm not going to help you out.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's how I do. I am generous, but I'm very aware of my generosity.
Okay.
I know where to put my money in. But then I have a very complex relationship because of my upbringing. And that's a long story. Because of the idea of the money that's been put in my mind, which I'm working now. And I need to get into it more and more.
Okay. And
it's a complex relationship. We all have it.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Money, food.
Yeah.
Complex yeah. relationships.
Very.
And
very.
You're constantly most people are constantly managing.
I mean, we could sit for 1 hour and talk about money and
yeah,
our relationship with it. Yeah.
Our last question is, mm-hmm. what's your favorite childhood memory and why?
Oh, I used to really play a lot. So going in the bicycle, Fil Farij in the neighborhood, that's one of my favorite. My favorite that we used to take a pot with raw rice and a match and go to the close farm, which mm-hmm. was in Jumeirah before it was nothing there, and cook the rice under the wood. I still feel the taste. I wish I could bring it. And we used to cook that rice and eat it. I have so many beautiful memories. Working in my father's hafiz, they call it hafiz, he used to call it. It's a shop.
Okay.
My father was a trader. And we were only two girls and everybody was a boy. I mean, the whole family were boys. So I used to play with boys. And they used to make us work in my father's office and in the store. So he had fishing equipment and my father had tijara amma.
Yeah.
He had the lulu and he had all that. But one of them was like when I was the youngest, so work. So it was nice. We used to have all our money, which was very little, and then go and get some chapati and dakus and onion. Look, now I want to eat it. And share it and a Coke. And share it. So I have beautiful, amazing, and painful memories of my childhood. So many things.
Well, thank you so much. That's our
thank
last
you.
Question.
Thank yeah.
you for being with us on today's episode.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Again, we'll put all the links to Journey Through Change and Hala's YouTube and Instagram and everything in the episode description. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, we love your comments and messages. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know what your favorite childhood memory is, actually. And be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening. Leave us a rating. And this is Mshad and Azy signing out. Bye, guys.